Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Seb Joseph. I'm the executive editor of news at Digiday. Thank you for joining us for what promises to be a really insightful, candid discussion of the topic of the moment, the end of third-party cookies in Chrome. To talk us through it all, I'm joined by a fantastic lineup of speakers from across the industry, all of whom are going to share their thoughts, viewpoints, perspectives on the subject. But before we dig into that, I'm going to ask them all to introduce themselves in part because I think I'll mess it up. So, Drew, do you want to get us off?
Good morning, everybody. Drew Stein, CEO and co-founder of Audigent. We are a leading data activation, curation, and identity company. I'm excited to be here. I'm always excited to talk about cookie deprecation and what comes next for all of us. So sit back and enjoy. I think this is going to be an absolutely great panel, and I'm excited to be here.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Jenny Kirby, and I'm from Publicis Media. I've worked in the digital industry for more than 20 years. Can you believe it? I look so young. and, you know, we've seen a lot of change during that time, and we're seeing the pace of change increase all the time. So I'm really happy to be here today to talk about what the pace of change means for this world where we're centering privacy, when we're looking at identity, and what are we doing about cookies as we still have to keep dealing with cookies.
I'm Manny Puentes, GM of Advertising at Genius Sports. We're a global technology and data provider for teams and leagues across the world, and incredibly excited to be here to talk to all of you.
My name is Matt. I'm from Total Media, business director. I've been in programmatic advertising for about 12, 15 years now. Worked across networks and indies for quite some time, and had some time as well in the publishing world as well. So, interesting space talking about cookies again.
Thank you. Let's start with the surprise that wasn't the surprise. The latest, the third delay to third-party cookies in Chrome. Is it a question of third time's a charm, guys? Or do we think this thing has kind of got lost in transition, right? And that this time next year, we'll be talking about the fourth delay. Drew, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. I mean, I think it's a good thing that there was a delay here. But what I would say is we're starting to make really good progress. Privacy Sandbox, I can't speak to all of the aspects of it, but certain aspects show a lot of promise. And I think as an industry, if we dig in and work with Google, I think that we can take the parts of Privacy Sandbox that show a lot of capability and a lot of potential for the future, and we can get it to a place with a few tweaks, with a few changes, that it will be ready for prime time sometime in 2025, and in a way that is going to be scalable and have efficacy and actually be able to drive value and outcomes for people using it. So specifically, I would say the Protected Audiences API, PAPI, is the area that we see that shows the most promise. And that's an area I think that, I don't know that it all launches next year, but I think with a few tweaks there, Google could stick the landing with the rest of the industry, and we could have something exciting to talk about in 2025. Okay.
Jenny, what about you? Optimist or cynic?
I am hugely optimistic about where we are, but I do think we need to stop centering Google in this conversation about privacy. You know, we've always known, forever, we've known that cookies are an incomplete solution to audience creation, audience targeting, measurement, etc. And really what Google are doing at the moment is catching up with where everybody else is. So where Safari have been for years, where Firefox have been for several years, we need to think about what is the right privacy solution for our industry. And Google's obviously an incredibly critical part of that, absolutely crucial, but they're not the whole picture. We need to have solutions that fit us for a privacy-first future and that enable us to maintain privacy for all consumers. You know, this is not a trend that's going away. privacy is going to become more and more important to all of our clients, to the technology ecosystem. It's important for everything. And Google is part of that world, but it's not the whole picture. So the way in which none of us were surprised that third-party cookie deprecation in Chrome was pushed back. You know, I saw in one of the articles, surprise, water is still wet, that it was pushed back. But it shouldn't change the pathways we're all on, which is trying to understand how best to operate in this digital ecosystem without third-party cookies, because that's what we should be doing anyway. Google will get there. Chrome will get there. I think it's right that they're taking their time to ensure, you know, the proper solutions are in place. But we need to think about privacy, and we need to think about identity in the digital ecosystem across the whole piece and holistically, not just through that Google lens.
Thank you, Manny. Picking up on that point, is that something you're starting to see come through in the conversations that you're having right now? This idea that life after third-party cookies is a lot more than the privacy sandbox. It is probabilistic solutions. It is authenticated reach. It is contextual first-party data partnerships, cohorts. I think that's been a point that's been around since 2020, but I wonder if it's starting to become a lot more acute. There's a lot more urgency now in the conversations that are happening behind closed doors, because you can't really rely on Google now. I think that's been proven.
Yeah, I mean, at Genius, I mean, we're working directly with Google in the privacy sandbox. And I agree with Drew, there's a lot of positive momentum around that. You know, that's Google-centric. And as we start to scale out and use universal IDs and start to look at other IDs that are in the market, I think one of the things that, you know, has surfaced is that, you know, publishers will start to have to, you know, embrace a lot of these technologies as well to start collaborating with data. But what I will say is that all these changes are incredibly positive for the industry, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, with the third-party cookie, I know we talk about it being deprecated and we're coming up with other solutions. The problem is, like, the industry has a whole ecosystem that has billions and billions of dollars that are invested in technology that support all of these IDs that are flowing through programmatic plumbing, at least. And so one of the things with the third-party cookie is that everybody has a different ID that represents sure. you, right? And one of the positive things that is coming about is that ID starts to get stabilized, right? And it gets easier to, once you've solved a lot of the technology plumbing, it gets easier to start, you know, being able to get, you know, some of these requests that come in to say, hey, what do you know about me? Well, when the ID is incredibly stable, you can say, well, here's what we know about yeah. you, right? And so I think those advancements, and like, while it feels hard and it feels like, you know, there's a lot of change and how do we embrace it, I think it's incredibly positive for all of us, you know, yeah. even in addressability and target segmentation. You know, addressability and segmentation are two different things. And when you start to solve that addressability and get more stability, you can have true conversations with your audience, you know, in our case with fans, right? So going back to, you know, what Drew said when he was saying that there's a lot of positive aspects about the privacy sandbox, it's just that they're out there at the forefront trying to change an industry of billions of dollars of investment. And over time, you know, that'll continue to scale out. So I see all of it as positive. There's a lot of initiatives out there outside of the sandbox. But long story short, I think these initiatives, just like anything else, you'll start to learn more and we'll all start to embrace a broader view of how we manage identity.
Yeah. Matt, on the subject of embrace, is that something you've started to see come through from your perspective? Like, because I think from the reporting that I've had, it seems like this latest deadline extension has kind of divided the market somewhat. You've got some businesses, some marketers kind of leaning in a bit more, and you've got others that have decided to just take a minute and pause and weigh up their options.
I think, look, talking about from the point of view of embracing, what was perhaps a little bit more alarming than anything when Google did the latest announcement, was how much panic it sort of set into the industry. Mm. I almost felt like we shouldn't be like that anymore.
Sure.
to the simple fact that we've known is coming for so long. There are so many, as was alluded to by Manny, so many different opportunities, and you know, there's it's quite an optimistic time to be trialing and doing different things. To be sort of set at a major panic this year almost is a bit concerning. I think that particularly the fact that we've been moving towards contextual targeting for quite some time, that there are opportunities in curation, for example, that are happening. The fact that what doesn't seem to have been embraced as much or enough yet is probably my main concern. From our side, or from what I've been focusing on for the past at least 2-3 years, has been a focus of, well, actually just pretend cookies don't exist at all.
Yeah.
So gone off the sweet cookie diet and gone straight to the kale algorithms. Not as tasty, but it's getting the job done.
Yeah.
I like kale.
I would say in some aspects, it's even more tasty. And we always talking about the cookie-less future. I mean, there's a cookie-less now that is happening that is really exciting. We've talked about contextual. I mean, if you are not diving deep into contextual right now, you are missing a really big boat. And beyond that, what's next in contextual, which is cognitive or predictive audiences, are more robust and more exciting, driving better results than absolutely anything that we've seen. We have campaigns live right now with predictive data and with contextual data that are outperforming deterministic signal and audience-based signal right now. And I think that future is happening as we speak. We are seeing first-party indexed data against contextual signal outperforming day in and day out audience-based signal. And so I think there is a now that is happening way outside of whether privacy sandbox is something we focus on or not. You can start today embracing things that will drive you value and performance without any legacy signal attached to it. And that is something that's exciting to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Is part of the panic, though, that with so many of the alternatives, there are a lot of sort of caveats kind of baked in. Like, it's not just the sandbox that's shrouded in uncertainty, right? Authenticated reach. There are many publishers that can't necessarily make that scale. Probabilistic solution. I think the jury's still out on some of the privacy concerns around that. The sandbox, you know, it's not the easiest thing to develop, right? For both in terms of the instructions, which I've heard to be compared to something that IKEA would sort of produce, but also to the fact that it's a costly endeavor as well. So is that, like, I'm just pushing back on Matt's point about the panic and trying to rationalize that a little bit. Is that part of the reason why? Not necessarily because people have been kind of twiddling their thumbs whilst this thing is shaking out, but I think there are just many moving parts that have to kind of coalesce almost at the same time for things to happen, even from an agency and a curation point, Jen.
It's incredibly complex.
Yeah.
And the complexity just seems to be multiplying at the moment. And it used to be, it was so easy to activate in digital media. You know, it was really straightforward. It was even, you know, I still remember where you could just buy third-party audiences in Facebook, for example. You could just opt into those audiences. It was very straightforward. And now we need to be able to understand things that feel, often for marketers, outside of our comfort zone. So whether that's the minutiae of an API or trying to understand topics API for Google, for example, it's an awful lot to understand. And it feels like there's an awful lot riding on it as well. You know, nobody in an advertiser wants to make the mistake that exposes them to a fine or that exposes them to you know, some kind of news article that, you know, there's a lot of vulnerability baked into the system now. And I feel like some of our stakeholders are actually changing, that we need to be really good explainers and simplifiers of this changing ecosystem to people like the DPO on the advertiser side, so they can understand what decision they're making and they have enough information to make that decision as well. Because there are different players in the supply path that we haven't engaged with before. And where the data moves around, where it moves from partner to partner, where it potentially leaves the EU, for example. We need to be aware of where the data sits, where the servers live, at what point does data move from server to server, etc. This isn't necessarily a marketing skill. This feels very technical, but yet it sits with us. You know, we need to understand it. We need to be able to explain it to our clients. We need to be able to explain it to their stakeholders, and actually being able to try and contextualize and simplify this incredibly difficult ecosystem is a really important skill for us to be able to bring in, and to be able to support advertisers in making those decisions as to which partners they go with, who gets to see their data, and how it flows through this ecosystem. And it's not easy. And I think to your point, Matt, about the panic, I think that's part of it, that people think, well, I understand things as they are at the moment. I understand, you know, I understand where the gaps are even. You know, I know that it's hard to measure what I'm doing on Safari, for example, but it's easy to understand on Google, and things are changing and it's difficult to understand. So I'll just hold my position. I think that's what's happening.
So, sorry to jump in, but yeah, on twiddling of thumbs, I don't think that's the case. Mm-hmm. But I think what also... And going back to what you were saying, it's very complex. And I mean, if you look at a programmatic team, 2012, you know, programmatic was, okay, I'm doing some display. Then we added in native. Then we added in video. Then we've added, and a programmatic team has become responsible for what used to be five different roles in an agency.
Yeah.
On top of that, going to what Jenny was saying, they also have to be very technical.
Yeah.
All of that, and all this is happening with, you know, sandboxes and having to get your mind around GDPR and privacy and CCPA and all the rest. On top of that, if you think about it, the accounts executives and even so much the accounts managers that we have as our cohorts now in agency, a lot of those are like the kids and stuff that came into the industry during the pandemic. So they all learned their trade sitting at home, really remote. And there's almost like a little bit of catch up that's happening as well from that regard. So on one hand, Google extending things, maybe that's done us a bit of a favor, but it's a double-edged sword because it has also meant that, you know, you can either grab this as an opportunity to jump ahead on getting ahead of your cookie-less solutions and stuff,
yeah,
or lean back on it going, well, now I've got the chance to sort of like catch up with what everyone else has been doing. I think that's the thing we've got to bear in mind as well. It's the people, and that's what Jenny is saying. It's the complexities that are actually happening around manpower and resourcing as well.
Yeah.
That has to be taken into account.
Yeah, just jumping in here too. It's like, it used to be incredibly easy because, you know, you could sync a bunch of data partners together and you didn't have to have a lot of collaboration. What's getting harder is that, you know, you're going to have a highly collaborative environment and, you know, have work with data clean rooms and get other approaches in place. But one of the things that, like, I, you know, if you can take this away and execute on it, which is what we've been doing, is right now, if you're targeting an audience, start to work with the alternative identity providers and, you know, align those with, you know, the existing campaigns that you have, and look at the measurement and look at the reporting, like, and anything we do, like, you always have to have the measurement and the reporting behind it, right? In order to know how you're going to actually optimize against it and whatever it may be. But I think, like, what we've been seeing is that, you know, if you take your traditional way of getting an audience through a cookie and you use other identity partners and you start to compare the performance, it's really important because at some point there's going to be a dip whenever Google pulls back the cookie.
Uh-huh.
And what you want to do is not have a dip in whatever you're doing and actually continue to reach the audiences that you want to reach, but using the alternative solutions that are out there, right? The other thing I want to make a point of is that we're, you know, we focus on the cookie and we're here talking about the deprecation and the curation of 2.0, but like there's a whole other ecosystem out there of consented yeah. identities and device IDs and CTV and all these other IDs that don't have this problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're just solving the browser and the identity from a cookie perspective, right? And today you really do need to be working with all those other formats, and you need to be understanding, you know, multi-touch attribution and really looking at, you know, the performance aspect of it. And then, you know, take this piece of your business that is you know, dependent on the cookie, and start to get those other identity providers to help with solving the problem of getting keeping the performance in your campaigns. But anyway, just pointing out that there are other, you know, identity solutions, right, Drew?
I would say this: if you want to stop the panic, and if you want to experiment with alternative identifiers and clean rooms and everything that's now available to us, there's an easy pill to take to stop the panic, right? There's an easy salve to it, and that's curation, right? There's an old way and a new way. Mm-hmm. The old way is data through the buy side. If you're still buying DMP segments, you're missing the opportunity to test all of these new cookie-less technologies, all of these new rich signals. Data through the supply path, curation, when you're packaging data and inventory together and delivering it as a PMP, has opened the door to a completely new world of signal, right? If you're panicking, it means you're stuck in the old way. It means you're still thinking about data activation and identity through the lens of, I have to have a DMP segment. I have to light that DMP segment up in a DSP. There is an entirely new world out there, which is massive and growing. I mean, curation is now $1 billion+ part of the ecosystem. It'll take less than 2.5 years probably to get to about $5 billion in media spend activation through it. And the reason is because it works better and because it does open the door to all of these new possibilities. If you want to test all of these new cookie-less technologies, whether it's contextual or alternative identifiers, whether it's predictive audiences, you can do it right now, and you can do it through curated PMPs. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity to use those new signals against the supply path has never been more exciting. It's cheaper, it performs better, it can be optimized, you can get log-level data, which allows you to do far more value-added data science. The opportunity to embrace curation and open the door to new possibilities has never been more exciting, because the rules have changed. Curation has rewritten the rules of how data gets activated through programmatic, and has opened up the door to a completely new realm. And that is the realm that's, frankly, more privacy safe, more consumer friendly, and is devoid of all of those legacy signals and legacy identifiers that we have become crack addicted to as an industry. And I think we have to get over that addiction.
Kale addiction. It's kale.
Kale, man.
Kale addiction.
Come on.
Yeah, we need the kale. Sorry, kale addicted. We've become kale addicted to deterministic and some of those legacy signals. And this is the opportunity in rooms like this, frankly, in forums like this, where we can open the door to embracing the new signal.
Yeah, I mean, I agree on the curated marketplace component of it too, right? If you think about like the change, it's identities getting closer to the source, right? To the publishers, right? And so getting that and creating curated marketplaces, understanding their performance, because in anything we do, it has to perform, right? There has to be ROI. And I think that just that basically counsel is big, right? Start to embrace the curated marketplaces, understand their performance, it's going to be big.
Jenny, how are you thinking about that in your role at Publicist, the idea of being able to shape the open web according to not just Publicist Media's kind of values and objectives, but also sort of clients as well?
So it's interesting. There's an awful lot to think about. Like, the things are changing, plus a change, but one of the areas that we're really focusing on at the moment, as I'm sure everyone is that measurement piece. Mm. So I completely agree with you, Drew, the point you make about we've become addicted to measuring what we can see. You know, we can look at clicks and impressions and click-through rates and so on, but I feel like we're going through a shift at the moment to being able to measure what really matters and actually changing what we see as being the indicators, the leading indicators of what really matters. And we've seen, you know, multi-touch attribution, MMM, these things are becoming more and more critical to actually being able to assess what performance is, to your point, Manny, because we've got to be able to show positive ROI in our investment, and we need to be able to show that media is making a difference. So, but how do we do that in this new world? How do we actually look at what actually tells us that media is having a positive impact? And really, it's this holistic piece of being able to understand that at any one moment, a million different things are in motion. And we need to understand the relationship between those things to see what we can actually influence, what we can drive to make a positive difference for our clients. So I would say that's a really important area of focus for us. But alongside that, it's how do we ensure compliance with changing regulations? You know, it's really important to us, especially here in Europe. How do we ensure that we are supporting our clients and supporting our advertisers in staying on the right side of these regulatory changes, and also responding to what consumers expect, which is advertisers that are aligned with their values when it comes to privacy. Yeah. And it's really important for us to be able to reflect back to consumers that our clients are on the same path that they're on, that they are treating their data with respect, behaving in an ethical way, and really ensuring that in everything we do that uses data, that we are centering privacy in how we behave.
Matt, how are you thinking about curation? Just building on the last 2 points.
About that what? Sorry?
Curation.
Look, I think we're looking at it quite positively. So, I mean, I think the best programmatic is always done from a behavioral point of view. And the other thing, I mean, this is going to sound very 2010 of me, but content is king. So, you know, from a publisher point of view as well, getting the right audiences on the right content is just going to do them favors as much as it's going to do the ads that are on those spots as well. Yeah. What Drew alluded to about the fact that it's performing better, we're seeing that ourselves as well. So if I wrap it up, I would just say that I'm quite positive about it personally.
Thank you. Jenny, one point I wanted to come back to before we wrap up was you talked about DPOs and how that's becoming, you know, they're becoming a bigger stakeholder that you're having to sort of address moving forward. Just talk me through how you and your team are sort of navigating that at the moment.
Well, one of the things we've not really touched on today is first-party data strategy and how we support our clients in building up their first-party data, but also, you know, figuring out what they're going to do with it, and how do we build really robust strategies that enable us to use that first-party data in a smart way. And as soon as you start talking about your first-party data, we need to talk to the DPO, really. Mm. So in terms of how we navigate it, every advertiser is structured in a different way. The relationship between the DPO and the marketing team is becoming more critical. So we tend to navigate it in that way. So through encouraging the marketing team or whoever has control of the media investment to connect with the DPO to put it on their radar, really, because it's... the buying points are changing, where the data flows is changing, and being able to surface that at a point where a DPO can either voice an objection, voice a concern, and that we can answer that concern in a way that doesn't slow us down, because we're all moving so fast, and that, you know, the world is moving fast, and being able to keep that pace in means that we need to get anyone that's invested in privacy on board with how we're operating and to demonstrate compliance with changing regulatory frameworks.
Manny, does that chime with you? Because I think we first heard of DPOs on the publisher side around the GDPR time, and it seemed like that was a big area of focus for them. Like, is that something that you sort of you're experiencing now in your side of Genius Sports?
Yeah, I mean, just like we talked about it earlier, you know, data is shifting, right? And as that data shifts, there's a lot more entry points that you have to go out and ensure that you know, respecting privacy, we're privacy first, always ensuring that you have consented ID. And, you know, like we said here, it's just a higher, you know, the collaboration is just going to require a lot more collaboration. And so with that collaboration comes understanding all the points and how you're going to use the data, is it consented data, so on and so forth, and getting that and ensuring that compliance is there.
I would just say it's everyone's responsibility in every organization to be, you know, cognizant of data privacy and be a privacy first organization. I mean, that's something that we've always talked about at Audigent, that it's everyone's responsibility to be consumer first, to be consumer friendly, and build products that are going to change the game in terms of privacy. And I would urge everyone in the audience here to think of themselves as a chief privacy officer or a data compliance officer. We have one opportunity right now to really nail it. We are in transition as an industry. We know that consumers are demanding more privacy. And I think it's the entire ecosystems, it's all of our responsibility to think and act in a way that puts consumers first. And I promise you, if you put consumers in the center of your ecosystem and in the center of the products that you build and you champion privacy, brands and media agencies, publishers, we all benefit from that. There's nothing more exciting than when we can build solutions as an ecosystem that are win-win-win. When the consumer wins, we know that the brand and media agency wins, and we know that the publishers win as well. So I think it's all of our responsibility, and I urge everyone to consider themselves as that chief privacy officer and to take it seriously and put it first.
Great stuff. I think that's a good sentiment to wrap up on. So thank you guys for talking us through it, and thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.